Hello, and it is 10:03. You're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Lisa Loving, and we are live in Studio 2 with Miss Merit Ingman, and her book is Inconsolable, How I Threw My Mental Health Out with the Diapers. Miss Merit, welcome.
Thank you very much, Lisa.
And Merit is going to be reading from this book and talking about it tonight at In Other Words Bookstore at 7 p.m.
That's right.
And that's on Southeast Hawthorne. Merit, we don't do enough at KBOO about families, right? I think that we should probably have a show about families, families, real families, fake families, how to keep relatively sane with families. And this book, Inconsolable, How I Threw My Mental Health Out with the Diapers, I won't lie to you, when I saw that, I went, I'm not reading that.
Yeah.
No, I scanned the chapters, and the chapters were dread, hell, you know. What was the other really good one?
Depression is ugly.
In other words, it's a book about families.
Yeah. Sorry to say it. Woody Allen would agree. But when I picked up this book, I couldn't put it down.
And, excellent.
Yeah, and it's the book about, I mean, we bandy this word crazy around all the time. Crazy. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown if you do this or do that.
Mm-hmm.
But this book is about how you went crazy when your kid was born.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. And yet it's not what we think it is, I think. Postpartum depression. It's a book about postpartum depression, but it's also more than that. It's also a book about how all the people around the mommy relate to the mommy.
Right.
It's also a book about latex.
And allergies.
And allergies.
To latex.
So, okay, I just wanted to first bring up this book, talk about Miss Merit, and say that we've lost a couple really stunningly beautiful women in the past year who are fabulous writers. And one of them is Iris Chang. She's the author of the Narrative History of the Chinese in America. She also wrote The Rape of Nanking, and she killed herself in her car last year. Pulled herself off the road and shot herself. And she had left a 2-year-old son. And the best that anyone could say was that it was postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a young teenage mom this past year, I think in this calendar year, who is the editor of Hip Mama for Teens.
Allison Cruz.
Also took her own life. So I can sit here and joke, and I can joke about being crazy and stuff like that, but this is a life and death issue.
It is.
So, Miss Merit Ingman, can you talk about this book, Inconsolable, How I Threw My Mental Health Out with the Diapers? Have I even got to ask it? How did you come to write this book?
Well, it started out as therapy for me. It was helpful for me, and I think it's helpful for a lot of people, to use writing as a way to put words to feelings that frighten us and feelings that we don't understand, feelings that don't make sense, especially those of us who are mothers, because we know that motherhood is a condition with intense feelings and a lot of ups and downs. But when day after day you find yourself being hopeless and angry and inclined toward hurting yourself, you physically hurting yourself, we don't understand what that is. It's confusing to us. It frightens us. And so I found that when I sat down and I started writing about my experiences and I fit them into words on a page, that allowed me cognitively to make sense of what was happening to me. And so I started writing, I guess, the first few chapters. And they were really more like essays. And they took a shape that was a lot more formal than what I had expected. And I thought, you know, I should share this because it's possible that there are people out there who are having the same feelings that I'm having. And if they were to look at my words on the page or anyone else's words on a page and know that this happens to other people and it's actually very common, whether we call that postpartum depression per se, or whether we just call it life or motherhood or existence or the struggle or whatever we call it, that we are not alone in this and that it is possible to sit down and write from that experience or to make art from that experience or music from that experience and actually transform that experience into something that can be constructive and powerful and shared between people.
And I Miss Merritt, I wanted to have you read pieces of this book on the air, but there's too many obscenities and we can't do it.
There are a lot of obscenities.
They really can't be taken out without changing the substance, I feel like. And that's why I just have to, if you're out there thinking, God, I'm so sick of squishy mommy stuff.
No joke.
No. This book, Inconsolable, How I Threw My Mental Health Out with the Diapers. We were talking about it in the front room. This is not a mommy book. This is an everybody should read it book.
Mm-hmm.
It's very readable. So, and you will be reading from it tonight at, in other words, the Feminist Bookstore.
Yes, I will.
At 7. So there are a lot of, there's a lot of obscenities, which as is as it should be. I actually, as a mom, right, I had two kids in diapers at a time, and now my kids are 12 and 13. But I was picking this book up, and I forgot all about how I broke out my front picture window with a CNC. You know, it was like one more barking dog. Anyway, on
that little stringy thing.
And, you know, so as we talk about these issues of parenting, I love the part in this book, too, where you talk about how many men get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm saying this is not a squishy mommy book. This is a everyone should read a book. But can you talk a little bit about how we even define what is mental illness? I mean, we're talking about mental illness. And there's this place in here, too, in this book where you're like, you know, I think all of us who's ever been a mom or even a dad have had to deal with the unreasonable expectations of other people.
Yes.
And, you know, we're thinking, oh, it's my hormones. They're going up and down. Oh, I really do want to eat two of those carrot cakes from Costco, not just one. That's not really what we're talking about here. We're talking about something bigger. So can you define it actually more specifically?
Absolutely. I think that for some people, they do have that hormonal experience, and that the book is written from my experience. My experience was not like that. I didn't have the, oh, you know, why am I crying? Why am I sad? I just can't get it together. It must be PPD. I had the experience of being furiously angry at everything that was happening around me. And it was circumstantial. It was situational. It was not... I think too often we define mental illness as some kind of pathology or some kind of dysfunction, something that's medically wrong, when in reality it is simply the opposite of mental wellness. So that is the approach that I take in the book toward depression. Not pathologizing it, not saying it's hormonal and you should take medication, because, you know, if you want to take medication, then you should rock on with that. You should get your hands on whatever it is that you need to be functional and to be mentally well, as opposed to being mentally ill.
So we are speaking with Merritt Ingman. That's I-N-G-M-A-N. And her book is Inconsolable, How I Threw My Mental Health Out with the Diapers. And she's going to be reading from this fabulous book tonight at 7 p.m. at In Other Words Bookstore on Hawthorne. It's the Feminist Bookstore. So many places to jump in here. One of the things that's that I had myself gone through, and I'd seen my sweetheart go through it, but I had never thought about it before. When you're a mommy or even a daddy anymore, if there's something wrong, it's your fault. And if
absolutely.
And you talk a little bit, even around communities of color, you talk about what you call the John Henry mindset in the black community, where, you know, if there's something wrong with you, it can be solved if you work harder. And John Henry being that mythic figure that worked himself to death, right? You can, you know, if you work harder at it, my husband, my sweetheart, I don't want to be all heterosexist, my sweetheart, his whole thing is, I think of it as the Great Depression theory of child rearing, you know. Don't do stuff for them. Let them do their own stuff, you know. And don't squishy coddle them all the time, you know. You have to be tough because to the kids, because life is going to be tough to them. And yet all this stuff got all tangled up in, just to take one example, your circuitous journey amongst doctors.
Yes.
Could you just talk about doctors and your mental state?
Doctors and my mental state. That's a long story.
How many? How many doctors?
Let me think. I have had three primary care physicians dealing with my depression. I've had 4 therapists. I have been on 6 different medications, and I'm a very traditional person. I support complementary medicine and all that, but my own upbringing and my own personality led me to medical establishment. So that's kind of where my experience came from. I have had encounters with people who were wonderful healers, who were committed to mental wellness, and I've had experiences with doctors that were horrible. And the problem that I encountered is the problem that a lot of families encounter, and that is pediatricians. Pediatricians are really hit or miss. And since my son had a lot of medical challenges after he was born, you know, he had...
We'll talk about that a little bit, too.
Okay, he had gastroesophageal reflux, which is a term that I'm sure many parents...
Spitting upist. He's a spitter.
Up. He's a spitter. And not just, you know, ooh, there it went, but a painful, acidic projectile kind of spitting that just the crying, you know, would be 20 hours a day. And he wouldn't comfort. He wouldn't soothe. And so we would do the thing that parents do, which is you put him in a sling, you walk around, you play music, you try to soothe them, and none of it works. And you feel like a failure because you have been conditioned and sometimes explicitly told, this is what you do, and a happy baby doesn't cry.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a good parent,
it
then you have a happy baby.
Right in the baby book. Anyway, I want to get back. There's just so many things I want to ask you about. But go ahead. All the doctors, it's hit and miss is what I hear you say.
It's hit or miss. It really is.
Can we back up a little bit and talk about where you came from? You're from Texas?
Yes, I am. I'm from Austin.
Film reviewer. You are alternative. I mean, you come from an alternative community.
I suppose so. Austin's kind of a hippie town.
Oh, come on. I mean, do other people wear like a knee-high plastic, black latex, what are those called? Platform boots?
Actually, they're vinyl.
Okay.
They have to be synthetic because, you know, of the latex allergy.
Okay. Okay, so you're wearing black vinyl platform boots.
Yes.
You were a film reviewer.
Yes.
Writer. You're coming from the alternative community.
I suppose you could say that for what that's worth.
And so here you and your sweetheart. You were married already.
I am married, yes. I've been married to my husband for 7 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And we were very much the traditional planned parents. You know, we had been together 4 years before we had a child, and we had done everything we thought we could do to prepare, and we were not the kind of people who statistically are associated with failure. You know, we're very aggressive, acquisitive, middle-class strivers. We had no reason to think, and of course it was our own pride that was telling us this, but we had no reason to think that we were going to become a statistic.
But that's the whole point, though, of this book. And we're talking about Inconsolable, How I Threw My Mental Health Out with the Diapers. So that's the whole point. When you are a parent, I think personally in our society, we're really screwed up.
We are.
As a society. And when I started reading through this book, I started thinking there's something about this book that's reminding me of the 9/11 conspiracy theories. You specifically... You could sense that there was a conspiracy going on among these happy moms and dads.
Mm-hmm.
I'm projecting that on you because I just saw it right between the lines. Every time you went to a play date at the alternative bookstore or whatever with mm-hmm. your mom, every time you went to the doctor's clinic, you're sussing out, maybe even subconsciously or maybe consciously, looking for miserable-looking parents mm-hmm. that you were getting next to.
Yes.
And you were going to suss them out for what was going on. And you were asking them like a coded question.
Mm-hmm.
How is everything really?
Right.
Was it a conspiracy?
I think that there is a conspiracy of silence. I think that there is definitely a taboo against speaking out about the emotional experience of motherhood. Nobody really wants to hear it. And sometimes it's very overt. Sometimes you will read in the New York Times, you know, oh, we've declared a state of issue fatigue on motherhood. And we don't really want to hear about that anymore. And we're done with you. So you should be quiet now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, go back to Gymboree, assuming that you can even afford to go to Gymboree or that you would want to go to Gymboree. And not everybody can and does. But I thought at one point when I was starting to recover, I thought, you know, these people, these depressed parents are out there among us like aliens. And I became convinced that if I could look at them closely enough, I could tell. And if I could tell who they were, then I could support them. And I could reach out to them and we could start building a coalition of parents who resisted all the crap and who resisted the see and say and resisted the sort of shiny, happy, everything's wonderful portrait of motherhood as this saccharine, apolitical phenomenon, which it is absolutely not. motherhood is as political as it gets.
But by the end of this book, Inconsolable, we are embracing Johnny Cash as our symbol of great motherhood. Am I imagining that?
No, you're not imagining that.
I love Johnny Cash.
So does my son.
I know.
And there's this wonderful moment when your children start to get older and you're playing Johnny Cash for them. You're trying to involve them in things that you would have done before you were a parent, instead of throwing out your whole personality and replacing everything with Raffi or whatever it is that we're supposed to do for our children. It changes every 15 minutes, as if you could even keep up with what you're supposed to do with your children.
It's not natural, but go ahead.
So you're playing Johnny Cash, and your kid says, I like this song, or I like Johnny Cash. And you're telling the bedtime story, and he wants to hear a bedtime story about Johnny Cash hanging sheetrock in his bathroom. And you don't really have it in you right then to explain that Johnny Cash is no longer alive. So you just, you kind of just roll with that and connect cosmically to the essence that is Johnny Cash. And, well, what would he be doing hanging sheetrock in his bathroom? Would he be singing to himself? What would he be wearing?
He'd be singing to June. He would be hanging with June Carter Cash. That's what I love about Johnny Cash. Anyway, we're live in Studio 2 with Merritt Ingman. Her book is Inconsolable, How I Threw My Mental Health Out with the Diapers. And the good news is you can go to the Feminist Bookstore tonight, in other words, and listen to Merritt read from this very ribald tale. I will tell you, it is a very ribald tale.
I may drop a few F-bombs.
Yeah, and there's even other things in there that might freak you out. Because, again, okay, I want to come back to this issue. We blame ourselves for being bad moms. And I'm saying we. And I'm saying that almost every female human being I've ever known that gave birth had a moment when she realized she couldn't handle it.
Right.
And it was all her fault. And everyone would be pointing at her. Sometimes even you imagine that your sweetheart, your closest sweetheart, he or she, is going to point at you.
It's happened.
But it wasn't your fault. It wasn't your fault.
No.
Can you talk about the latex now?
The latex. Okay. So my
son... It turns out that the kid was allergic to eggs, cats, and peanuts. But latex had a problem too.
Latex was a problem. And that was fascinating to me because he would be playing with something made of rubber. Everything for infants is made of rubber. Teething toys,
diapers.
Diapers have latex
nipples,
in them. Nipples.
Everything.
Band-aids. You name it. Everything has latex in it. Carpet. Carpeting has latex in it. And so we had latex backing in our carpet. And he would crawl on the carpet and break out in a rash. And when I say rash, I mean this separating, inflamed, horrible, up and down his body kind of rash. The kind of thing where you think, this, what is this? What's causing this? Is it something that he's eating? Is it something in our environment? What is it? And it makes you start to think some crazy thoughts about environmental sickness and some stuff that, to me, coming from where I was coming from as a pretty mainstream medical person, was kind of out there a little bit. So I started, looking at what was in our home and what was in our environment and what was in my son's toys. And it kept coming back to latex. And I thought, well, that's strange. It's not, latex allergy is common among certain populations of people, but not so much in children. Unless they've had multiple surgeries or hospitalizations, or unless they've had a lot of contact with latex, with all the different tools that you would use in a surgery, the tourniquets and all that kind of stuff. And that hadn't happened to us. So I thought, what is this? He's not a healthcare worker. He doesn't wear latex gloves. Why is he allergic to latex? And I finally took him in to our allergist, because at this time we'd gone through the whole HMO and we had a referral to an allergist, the one allergist in town that we were able to see. And I said, I think he's allergic to latex. And the doctor said, well, he's not at risk for that.
9/11 conspiracy. Sorry. It's coming bubbling right up. Every time he went to a doctor and said, look, this is what's happening, they always said, no. Okay, I'm not yelling now.
That's not possible.
Right.
And I would say it's not possible? Well, it's not. It's certainly not likely, but it's still possible, right? And I would have to insist. I went into the doctor, I listened to angry music in the car. I'm listening to KMFDM or something, trying to pump myself up to go into battle with my doctor, to force him to test, just to test my son's blood, just to rule it out. Is this what's bothering him? And so I went in and I insisted, and he finally agreed to do it. And there was this palpable sense of, well, this will shut her up if I test for this crazy, crazy woman in my office. And so we did the test. And of course, we're at the phlebotomist's office, and they're using latex stuff on him. They're tying him off with latex and
tourniquet. the tube probably that they put the blood into was probably latex.
Probably latex.
And
probably
they're all wearing latex, and then there was. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry that when I read that, it just made light bulbs go off all over. So, kid's allergic to latex.
He's allergic to latex.
Did the doctor apologize?
No. No, he sent me a big packet of information about latex allergy, and everything that was in there I already knew, because there's still, doctors keep insisting that their patients can't actually, go online and do research on their own. You have to receive it in a packet from them.
We are talking live in Studio 2 with Merit Ingman. I wish this was an hour-long show. Her book is called Inconsolable, How I Threw My Mental Health Out with the Diapers. It's about postpartum depression. Even Brooke Shields just came out last year talking about how she suffered. And she, anyway, we've only got about 5 minutes left. And here we're now to the place where I wanted to be able to say to you, you travel around now and you talk to women, I'm hoping men too, on these depression issues. But mm-hmm. before we go there, I just want to say, that's the other thing when you are suffering from basically a mental health crisis, which has been brought on by a complex web of things, including
exactly.
what your baby's going through and how you can't even sleep, right? Mm-hmm. And still you get that vibe from your doctor that you're like, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like the layer where you're not that crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm crazy. I am crazy, but I'm not stupid. Crazy people are not stupid. Crazy people retain in their minds a core of rational thought. And that's what's so terrifying about mental illness. You know that it's happening to you.
Merit, are you crazy?
At the moment, I wouldn't say that I am. I think I'm pretty well recovered. And from time to time, I hesitate to even say I was crazy, because there's a spectrum of crazy. And part of it is just being an aware person in a messed up world. And some people would call that crazy, and maybe to some extent it is. But on the other end of that spectrum, there is the point at which you look at yourself and you look at your life and you recognize that you are not a functional human being and that you want to kill yourself every day. And that shouldn't be. That requires action. So rather than say, well, I'm not crazy. You're the one that's crazy. You're driving me crazy and be all, suicidal tendencies about it. I was crazy. And I had to acknowledge that. I am not that way anymore. I am not suicidal. I don't self-injure. I am much more functional. I'm not afraid to leave my house. These are all things that should not be. Now I think I'm on the other end of the spectrum, where I am an aware person in a messed up world. I am not happy every day. I am not happy-go-lucky. But I am functional. And I am able to get by in my world, care for my son, do the things that the world requires of me. And I don't think that's crazy. So, yes, I have reached that point, and I'm happy to be there.
Already we're running out of time. We're speaking with Merit Ingman. Her book is Inconsolable, How I Threw My Mental Health Out with the Diapers. And I would submit to you that you're doing some things above what normal people might be capable of accomplishing. In this brief time, I would just want to ask you, how's the kid?
He's great. He's really great. His eczema is almost gone. He's indistinguishable from the general population of children. And he loves construction.
And he loves construction. Backhoe loader. How old is he?
He's 3.5.
Oh. Do you live in Seattle?
Austin.
Well, welcome to Portland.
Thank you.
And
I love it.
Already we're out of time. And our guest has been Merit Ingman. Her book, it's published by Seal Press, is Inconsolable, How I Threw My Mental Health Out with the Diapers. No, this is not a baby book. This is an everybody book, okay? And I really want to encourage people to go to In Other Words Books tonight, 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
on Hawthorne. Listen to a real reading of all of the fulsomeness of this prose, which it's going to knock your socks off. I just have to tell you that. And Miss Merit, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It's been a pleasure.
Great. Stay tuned for Art Focus.
Todo el rebaño el clan completo. Machuca, chinuca, maluca, peruca, barruca, farruca. La paca, la cuca, la quica, la gruesa, la besa, la flaca, la oronda, la seca, la motuca del embeleco. La chula, la pitre, la cari linda, la currutaca. Primero que todo, mujer, mujer, otra mitad primero. Lo mejor, mujer, lo mejor es su flor. Flor de mujeres, sabe.